morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 28th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor in the 1st District, Rex Bone. Good morning, sir. Good
morning.
You having fun? So give me back my pen, will you?
I'm having a good time.
It's tough for me to make notes if I have to use your blood.
I'm having a good time.
Okay. We'll see what we can do to continue that, too. Our quote this morning comes from John McPhee. He liked to go from A to B without inventing letters in between. God, wouldn't that be the truth, huh, if that's how government operated?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you over the frustration yet?
Sometimes of government? No. No. It's not the people, it's the bureaucracy that's created that the people have to live by.
Well, yeah, I don't think most folks inherently want to wait 3 weeks to get something done that could take an afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, no.
That just would kind of seem
It's just
goofy.
So much different from the private sector. And, you know, in all
reference. And there's a balancing reason.
There's a fine balance.
You get that, too.
In all reference and out of respect to my lawyer friends, everybody's so damn afraid of getting sued that they've just got to, they take everything to an extreme because everything gets sued by the right, the left, the middle, the, you know.
The up, down, purple, green, orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you consider some of the different things that you see that have to be done, do you build in an extra time cushion? Because it's just going to take so bloody long to get there. Whether it's some of the decisions you might have some juice with the rural counties, or whether it's the county, or whether it's your district. Well, we won't talk about your backyard, but
yeah. Well, I mean, it's like homeless and mental illness. We can talk it to death. But we're going to have to really put some metal, you know, on the ground and, you know, get something done. And instead of, I think we know that we have a problem. We agree. I mean, you can just go down 4th and 5th Street and see that we have an issue when people are yelling at
themselves.
Telephone poles. And,
yeah.
And then they wait for an answer. That's the best part. I don't mind yelling at a telephone pole, but when they wait for the telephone pole to answer, I know we have a problem, Houston.
No, that was, 30 years ago when we used to have the old call boxes?
Yeah.
Imagine if those things were there now?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
cow. Do other rural counties, as I know, you know, as you're not the gavel swinger yet. You're right.
Next year, I'm first vice president.
You're okay.
I get sworn in a couple.
Now
weeks
you have to show up to the meetings.
Yeah, I was second vice president. So I had to show up for those too.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
I don't have to pay attention yet.
Silly you. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
No.
Do other rural counties have, to the same degree, that we have some of this stuff? I mean, I can't imagine Amador having. Just because.
Put it this way. A lot of them do that have a milder climate, have open areas, and it's allowed. But you're exactly right. I mean, you know, Amador and you get up in the hills when it gets below 30 on a regular basis and they get snow. No, they're pretty much. But you get down, you know, anywhere at the coastal. I mean, Mendocino's no. Ukiah has an issue. Del Norte, I don't know if Del Norte has.
Just by the wall.
Yeah. But Redding, you know, Shasta, Tehama, those guys, they've all got some issues over there.
So I heard a hyphen for you. You said homeless mental health. Now, is this the group of homeless who also have mental health conditions?
Now, the estimate is 75 to 80% have some sort of mental health issues. So you can almost have to do it hand in hand.
Well, so do we. You and me.
Understood.
You know, so it's a continuum, severe or significant mental health.
It's how much to the degree.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, before the break, we were talking a little bit about homeless mental health and the commonality of the two being related. Now, we used to have mental health hospitals. Okay.
We're one of the few counties that has one still.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Is there a push at the state level? Either, I suppose, you could drive the bus or Virginia could drive the bus to bring back? Is it really? I think my sense talking to folks is before we really can do something significant with this, we have to bring back some of those resources, such as state-run mental health facilities, regionalized, so you get the pros in there. You don't have these departments that are half a county with a bunch of these specialists. They're there. They can manage with these folks, bring them into whatever conditions that they're dealing with, bring them closer to what is seen as normal.
Well, what you always hear is the expense, how expensive it is. But I think what they're realizing is the expense of not doing anything is far exceeding. It's like housing. They've got great numbers that if you can get somebody housed, the touches the police have with them and everything else, because they get them under to a certain level of control. Now, you have to understand, there's some people that don't want to be housed. We have an individual in town that sits around town all day long and most of the night that has an apartment. They just like to be outside. And it's a, be it whatever causes that.
But it would, I think, for a lot of the communities, and maybe it wouldn't impact the breaking in too much, because that's more the drug culture thing.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have the telephone discussions, and you wouldn't have talking to the airplanes overhead or yelling at somebody across the street. I would think that it would bring in a level of perceived comfort.
Yeah, and that's what we're after. And Connie Beck and you know, Betty just opened up, got her 14 rooms going, and that's fairly successful. There's a couple other...
But those aren't the mental guys.
No, they're not. They're not. But it's getting people off the streets. But the mental part of it, Virginia's working on a big program. She went to Florida and Texas and looked at jails and stuff with mental health units in them, because they all have touches with law enforcement, and trying to figure out where these people should be after they are incarcerated so they can get treatment rather than reincarcerating them for doing things they don't realize they're doing.
Do they need to even be in the criminal justice system, though?
That's what this program, there's a
big
summit.
Would you want to divert it before then?
Yeah, there's a 58-county summit coming up that she's helping head up, coming up January 18th and 19th.
That's like everybody in the state?
Yeah, all 58 counties.
Yeah, I remember these.
Yeah, yeah. The whole group.
I may be demented,
in.
But yeah. I remember certain things.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and those are the things that are working on. And that's an issue that every county has. Every county has mental health law-breaking issues.
My concern has always been, as we talk about how L.A. County controls everything, or San Francisco. I mean,
51% of the 51% of the voting public lies Orange County South in California.
Well, Gary has a figure for school kids. You know, the LA Unified controls some huge percentage, and it's still the that's where the dog is rather than the rest of us. And I would suggest that one size isn't going to fit all with this. That the rural guys, like us, are going to have to rely on regionalism. We can't do what these other folks do. Yeah. So to bring in the big boys, is it really kind of diffusing the focus on what possible solutions there could be? Trinity County, I would think, would be an ideal because it's centrally located for about six or seven of us rural guys. Yeah. And, okay.
Our problems are just as big on scale as LA's problems are.
Oh, no question.
But...
Downey's got two zeros on his budget. They've got five.
They have the juice to be listened to more than us. I mean, an LA County supervisor has a staff of 24 that works for him.
Okay, so let's say they got 24 times the budget.
We have a staff of three that works for all five of us.
Yeah. Okay, the outcome of this thing is going to reflect what they want.
Yeah.
not necessarily what plays well in our part of the woods. We've had to suffer through the Coastal Commission. We know that one size doesn't fit all. Why would we be wanting to try to find another application for one size fits all instead of the small guys doing something for the small guys?
Yeah, somebody's still going to have to convince me one day how the Coastal Commission's saving us rather than hindering us, but...
Different ooh, show. Now, if you would have come in with air, that as a topic, then we could have talked about it. We're now off into this other direction here.
Yeah.
Do you think RCRC, the rural counties group that you're involved with, is going to be able to wrestle this stuff down, or is this because the budget and the size of it really has to be done at the state level with every county involved and every community stepping in?
Well, you know, the difference between us and CSAC is CSAC has all 58 counties, which means you've got LA, San Francisco, and San Diego and Orange County, and then everybody else. But with us, RCRC, we're 35 counties, but we're small. We're all small. I mean, we're 9%, all 35%, 35 of us together are 9% of the population, but we're 53% of the land mass. We've got the resources, we've got the land, and so
they have the votes to take it from us.
But we actually have a pretty good voice. We've got great lobbyists, we've got great policy people who have a great rapport with everybody in Sacramento, and we do get listened to.
So can something like this that I would say afflicts some rural counties more heavily than the larger counties have ever dreamed of get any traction?
Yeah. And it's part of our platform. It's part of the things we're working on. And combined, even with CSAC, we work together with CSAC on a lot of stuff. And combined, I think the state realizes there's a big issue.
It's 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by Redeck, CDH Painting, and by the Salvation Army. Rex, wrestling some of these large statewide or national issues, particularly with the light of government and bureaucracy as the backdrop in this. What do you think the president's going to do that's going to help the efficiencies and the speed of government decision? Do you think it's going to come down to the local level, or are we going to see the changes at the national level and the states are just going to dig in and lock their elbows and lock their knees and say, not in my town, and try to resist?
I think this is probably going to be some of the most interesting political times we've ever seen, because I don't know if he's going to do that many things different. He just does so many of them vocal, and there's such an amount of the press that, I mean, will question what he's wearing. Or I can remember a month and a half ago, they said he was going to stay in for dinner, and then he decided to go out for dinner, and it was headline news. Is he always going to do crazy stuff like that? And I remember one of the reporters says, maybe he just saw there wasn't anything in the refrigerator. It's not all news.
Yeah,
so,
basic
I mean,
stuff, yeah.
I think he's going to want to do what every layperson that gets into politics does, cut the bureaucracy, cut the fat, cut everything else, and realize after you do all of that, there's not a whole bunch left on the bone. So I think it's depending how much you're going to trim back and how much he can actually do. Now he's got both houses to work with. I don't know if everybody in, you know, both houses want to work with them that much, because they're not sure the legacy that's going to be left behind. I think it's pretty tough that he's not getting an opportunity, even though he is so polarizing. Give him his due, and basically let him screw up before you call him a screw up.
Before you pounce, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he does right say now. Things that even I wouldn't say. So I mean,
well,
and that's
you're just learning where to say it. That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
It'll be interesting for me with that as the backdrop. Then what is the one thing we hear during some of the challenges with all these shootings we've been having in Humboldt County? We've got this code enforcement thing that somebody said Humboldt County now has 3 code enforcers.
Two,
okay. And the state is saying, okay, guys, you have to handle it, which is not what it was designed with the whole Prop 64. And
once Prop 64 passed, it's not a law enforcement issue anymore. It's a code enforcement issue.
We don't have funding for people to do that. We expect you to go out in the deep tundra with your one little gun and tell somebody what
so
they're doing. Now looking at that at what the state's doing, what is the one thing we heard last week from McGuire's office? He's right at co-authoring something so that a presidential candidate has to show their tax returns. How does that take a higher priority than this big thing that's coming in around the corner that's really a life and death, or will be potentially for a lot of folks, a ton of money for the state, and we're worrying about somebody's tax returns in 4 years?
That's not exactly probably one of the ones I would have jumped on, and I'm probably one of the...
Priorities.
I can pretty much guarantee Trump makes more money and has more money than I have, and the difference between
probably
him,
a third of the states
the
too.
The difference between him and other presidents is a lot of them go into the presidency broke. I mean, Clinton's and Obama's, I mean, they weren't broke, but they didn't have a lot of money. But they sure came out with a lot of money. So
it's just curious what some of the priorities are from our electeds when we talk, and I know you guys have to work with them, so you're going to be nice guys with them. I don't particularly have to. And you hear all the positioning and all this. But they're great guys. They're really doing a wonderful job. And you say, well, homeless, mental health, code enforcement. I mean, those are 3 in 5 minutes we've come up with that really nothing is going on with, other than maybe some hand-wringing. Let's focus on results here, guys, instead of the meetings, instead of more workshops. Let's get something we can stand behind and celebrate as a decision that was made that's having positive impact.
That's going to have positive
impact. In these
impacts.
Areas.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's some of the frustration
In fairness to McGuire and Wood's office, I was on both their offices this morning. We're working on 50 housing units for homeless, quote-unquote, mentally challenged at the same time.
So they would
a combination.
They would be monitored?
Yes. Yes.
Housing, I guess, would be the way
but
to say
the
it.
Problem is asking Connie Beck and, you know, can't let without letting too much out, trying to figure out where the funding's coming from. And you get, well, they all want to fund this stuff, but nobody's opened the purse strings yet. So I've got McGuire, Woods,
oh,
and,
hey, that's
you know,
even more fun.
Yeah.
Let me just pontificate in position and not have to pay for it. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Rex.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Well, end of 1 year, start of a new year for most of us. I know you guys are always a half step behind.
In more ways than one,
yeah,
Brian, in more ways than one.
So be it. So you're going to
have... Always one wheel in the sand.
Yeah, You're going to have a new compadre on board.
I've heard that.
This is your, what, second, third time you've experienced new players?
Well, it'll actually be, I'll be sworn in on my third term. I'll be up, my first term was only 6 months, but.
Right, okay, yeah. So you've seen the change a couple of times.
I was the change last time.
What sense do you have about what that does to the efficiencies of the supervisors and the CAO office and the senior manager, top level senior manager?
Well.
Is there much impact?
No, I don't think. I mean, our CAO, you know, our new CAO, when she's not new anymore, but, you know, Amy Nielsen is doing a great job. And she's got a great staff and very, very reaction. They fill the bill. They seem to have the answers before we ask the question a lot of the time. And it's kind of nice to be a little more proactive than reactive. And I think they've got that down. And you can see this by some of the things that we have going on.
So it keeps you out of jail
rather than bailing you out once
you're in there. Is
that, they tell me not to do something before they say, you shouldn't have done that. It's kind of nice.
Well, I suppose that's part of the experience thing, too, for the new guy. You know, whether it's a mentor in a formal mode or just, you know, looking and seeing how somebody else acts or reacts. Have you had much interaction with Mike Wilson? I mean, is he going to?
Very
does
little.
Does he know the reins, so to speak?
Very little. I think he does. I've heard him talk a couple times. I think he's got her dialed in. So,
what about you? You dialed in yet?
No, I'm nowhere near. I think that's the best thing about this job. It changes every day. I came in with some preconceived ideas that have changed, others haven't. Still love people and their property rights. I still like people if they want to live rurally. I think we should try to accommodate them to the best extent possible, because I think that's why we got here in the first place, because we're basically rural anyway. I mean, our downtown is rural compared to most cities.
Yeah, anyway, doing a little bit of playing around with the AM station, and then a little bit with the cemetery too. It's interesting for me to go back and look at some of the old pictures and to do some of the research and see where we were and how we really haven't changed that much. I mean, we don't have teepee burners. We don't have the pulp mill. We don't have some of those cultural things that we used to be able to do because they're either illegal now or non-PC. But in essence, we're the same place. We haven't changed that much. We haven't grown that much. We're not developing a lot of capital. There's not that kind of significant change where the rest of the state really has gone through some significant growth in the last 50 years. We're kind of treading water.
Well, I use this figure a lot, and I've used it on your show before, that, I mean, in 1960, we had 105,000 people in Humboldt County. And 50 years later, in 2010, you know, we had 138,000. State of California had about a 14 and a half million in 1960, and they're pushing 40 million. So we're not keeping our end of the bargain up, and we've had some great booms. We've had some busts, but I mean, we've gone through the lumber, we've gone through the fishing, we've gone through, you know, the equity refugees of the 2003 and 4 when they could sell their house in the Sacramento or the Bay Area for $400,000 and come up here and buy the same house for $160,000.
Yeah, we could use a couple more of those.
We
could bring some of those folks. Yeah.
But we had a lot of those. Now they're all moving. Now they're 15 years later. They want to move back to Sacramento because they want to be within, you know, those areas. They want to be within a day's, you know, drive of
around the grandkids and hospitals. Yeah,
acute medical care and grandkids. So, you know, that's the great thing. But besides that, we're still basically. I mean, when was the last time we had a new school built? I mean, but
one's going to take a while to think about.
But you go everywhere else, and there's new schools being built. So we're not. But the thing is, what makes us great and what makes Humboldt great is still here. We have problems. I agree. We've inherited a few more problems. But still makes us pretty great.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always love it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
See everybody tomorrow.